agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the sixth day of August 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett from Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting will update us on the cash grain market and conditions on his farm outside of Windsor, Illinois. And we'll take up the weather forecast, too. That with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, I'll invite you to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. And get yourself all prepped for next week's USDA crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates reports. That's the WASD and crop production reports on Wednesday of next week. We'll take it all up today during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, let's check the numbers as they finished up at the CME Group. September corn down 3 cents today, $3.69¾. The settlement price December at $3.80½, 2¾ lower. And the March contract down 3 cents at $3.91½. May futures at $3.98 down 3. July corn down 2¾ today at $4.02¾. Next year's December at $3.96½, down 2¼. Soy complex bean futures down 6¼ in the lead option August. The settlement price there at $9.85½. September $9.56. That's down 6¾. And November beans a dime lower at $9.43¼ for the new crop. January at $9.48, down 10¼. Next year's July at $9.41¼, down 9¼ cents. Bean meal off $5 today at $350.10, and the bean oil up 3 cents at $29.66. Soft red winter wheat at $5.07 a bushel, up 5 cents in the September, July of next year, 4½ higher at $5.26¼. Hard red at $4.89½ finished the day unchanged. Live cattle futures in the August, $1.17½ higher at $149.85 per 100 pounds. August feeder cattle at $2.14.85. They're up 72½ cents, and lean hogs for the day down $1.95 at $78.27½. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Let's check some of the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures at $44.65 a barrel are down 50 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.46 or 3⅔ of a cent lower. The wholesale price of gasoline, or RBOB, at $1.65 at a tenth. That's down a penny and 8 cents per gallon. And the heating oil at a penny and 4 tenths of a cent higher, trading at $1.55¾ of a cent. Natural gas at $2.81¾, a penny and a half higher for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands about 121 points lower at 17,354. The U.S. dollar is down 0.125 at 97.91, and gold futures at $1,092 even are up $6.70. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says mostly sunny skies this afternoon, a high of 80 degrees. Winds will be out of the northeast at 11 miles an hour and gusting to 16 tonight, partly cloudy, and a low of 59 on an east-northeast wind at 5 to 7. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 82. Southeast winds at 5 to 7, partly cloudy Friday night with a low of 63. Those winds will remain out of the southeast. And on Saturday, sunny skies with the south-southeast winds at 3 to 5, all the way to 83. A beautiful day for Saturday. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy, a low dipping just to 67 degrees. A 50% chance of rainfall on Sunday with mostly cloudy skies and a high of 83. Sunday night, more showers and rain, cloudy, and a low of 68. We'll take a complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. It is the sixth day of August, and we're joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. I know you were watching the marketplace with interest and thinking about next week and the end of this week. What kinds of things have you been looking at on your charts?
Well, so far, basically we started out the month of August the way we would want to start it out if we would want to try to negate the bearish price action that occurred during the month of July. But with that said, we haven't really built that much enthusiasm to the upside here since we popped out that July low there on Monday. It would have been a little nicer close here today if corn and beans would have been able to kind of extend yesterday's advance instead of getting a good chunk of it back. But with that said, it's that time that everybody, we're going to go into the weekend. The weather guys are kind of mixed on what kind of weather to expect over the next week or two. The 6 to 10 and 8 to 14-day forecasts, the last couple of them have indicated a warmer, drier pattern here for the second and third week of August. Now, some of the private types are arguing with that those forecasts and saying that it's going to be wetter and cooler, and I guess we'll wait and see how that one plays out. But the last couple maps have indicated warmer, drier conditions, and I think that's critical. If we do switch to a warmer, drier pattern, I think subtracts bushels away from August 1 conditions. Now, we've seen the two big guns come out this week with their numbers, and both of them were pretty well in line, not much of a spread. There's usually a little bigger spread between F.C. Stone and Informa Economics. USDA will be out Wednesday, and then I guess we'll kind of go from there. My guess is that USDA, I hate to bet on USDA reports, but I don't think USDA will be any higher than the Informa group or the F.C. Stone group. They may even come in a little bit lower. They may walk into this report a little softer, knowing that we have highly variable conditions out there. The key to watch will be what does USDA do with soybean acres as they resurvey those areas. There may even be some changes in the corn number too, but most people will be watching for soybeans. And then we'll see how this weather pattern plays out over the next couple of weeks. Rain is definitely needed to make a big bean crop. It's definitely needed to get the corn crop to fill out, especially with the shallow roots that we have this year across the Corn Belt. And we'll see what USDA says next Wednesday. But from a seasonal perspective, it's not uncommon for the markets to stabilize during the last week or so of July and the first week of August, wait on USDA's number and decide whether or not it wants to decline into a harvest low or if it wants to kind of try to rally into early September before the combines start rolling.
Is there any concern that USDA will fiddle with the supply and demand reports, especially the consumption side or exports for both corn and soybeans for the coming year?
For the coming year, I really don't see any reason at this point that they would fiddle too much with them unless the crop numbers would just totally shock everybody, and USDA would come in with a much lower number.
let's say they come in with 163 bushel corn yield or 162. They come in with a 43 on the beans. I think that would be a definitely supply shock. If they would do that, then they would probably have to make some downward adjustments on the demand side. But other than that, actually, I think corn exports with the situation that has developed in the EU, I just think corn exports are going to be kind of where USA's got them, in that 1.8-1.9 area. Now, new crop sales are off to a very weak start. So when and if that does take hold, we could have several weeks of good export sales coming at us here, maybe during the fall months, which would argue for some pretty good demand during harvest, and we may even have an uptrending market during harvest. Soybeans kind of took a tumble today because of a drop in old crop soybean sales, or we cut a half a million tons off the sales total. That is really not surprising, because we're oversold in what USDA was projecting us to be anyway, and we are starting to run out of time. I mean, we are getting here August 1, so export sales from this point forward are going to be primarily new crop related. We had a good new crop soybean sales on the books. We had good wheat sales this week. So I think it's a matter of time before corn sales start kicking in. I think a lot of people are probably waiting until they see what the August crop report is and what kind of weather we have here to kind of finish off this growing season.
Anything on the charts that we need to be aware of today, technically, that you've looked at in the last week?
Well, anytime you get into a consolidation phase like we have been kind of over the past couple of weeks, we've kind of been mostly in a choppy sideways trend here. You always begin to wonder, is that the bottom of a new leg to the upside, or is it just a pause before we take the next leg to the downside? And if these would be pauses to go lower, it would have to be, I think, from a major outside force of some kind to send prices sharply lower from these levels. But that would be awfully scary. I'm in the opinion, at least right now, and I do have to acknowledge that today's closes are disappointing from a bull's argument, but I think we're making a major low in here. And if we can get through the August crop report without any bearish surprises, I actually look for this market to regroup and rally all the way into Christmas. So that's what some of my long-term cyclical work indicates. At least we'll take a run into Labor Day, and then shortly after Labor Day, then we'll start beginning to hear actual yield reports coming in. And if they would be coming in on the low side, then that would fuel that rally then all the way into Christmas.
Ooh, that sounds like something we should discuss on Commodity Week. I'll talk to you maybe in about half an hour or so for that program. We'll get it posted to the website tonight. Thanks so much for being with us on the Closing Market Report.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. As I said, on this Thursday afternoon, it is the sixth day of August. In today's agricultural news, the ethanol industry says an EPA mistake calculating 2014 renewable fuel trading credits could force the agency to revise renewable fuels volumes. The EPA acknowledged in a July memo its mistake in figuring renewable fuels trading credits attached to exported gallons of ethanol. The agency will recalculate those and may have to redo parts of its controversial RFS proposal, since the credits, known as RINs, affect compliance with the RFS. Here's Renewable Fuels Association President Bob Dineen.
By overestimating the number of RINs available in the marketplace, they underestimated the number of gallons that should actually be blended. And as a consequence, you will likely see the renewable volume obligation increase.
RFA and member biofuels firms cited the mistake in June correspondence and at a public hearing involving EPA's proposal to slash renewable blending volume obligations by about 1 billion gallons from 2014 through 2016. Now, the proposal stirred up months of controversy involving ethanol groups, corn growers, and farm state lawmakers. Dineen's group predicts the EPA will likely have to revise its 2014 renewable fuel volumes, and not just 2014.
We anticipate that this could have an impact on the volumes required for 15 and 16 as well. We believe that number could be as high as 380 million gallons.
That brings the RFS blending requirement up from the proposed level of 13.25 billion gallons to more than 13.6 billion, restoring almost 40% of EPA's proposed cut. A final RFS rule is expected in November. We'll stay with ethanol, but this time move to DDGs. U.S. ethanol exports retreated for the third month in June, as reported by the Renewable Fuels Association this week. However, exports of distillers' dried grains broke an all-time record. Ethanol exports dropped 7% from May to 60.2 million gallons. No ethanol exports, by the way, were shipped to Brazil in June. Outside of Canada, Brazil has been the largest customer for U.S. ethanol exports. June exports, on the other hand, of U.S. distillers' dried grains with solubles, the animal feed co-product manufactured by dry mill ethanol plants, bounded 12% higher to 1.3 million metric tons, breaking the previous monthly record set back in July of 2014. And finally today, the East Coast Flyway has been warned. Poultry producers settled along the East Coast Flyway are being warned by various entities in regards to another possible outbreak of HPAI, or highly pathogenic avian influenza, otherwise known as bird flu. The flu has previously struck states in the western and midwestern United States, and Meeting Place reports Vermont State veterinarian Kristen Haas expects HPAI to arrive on the East Coast either this fall or in the spring of 2016, that with the migration of wild birds that may spread the disease. She also suggests that the local poultry industry should be prepared and become familiar with the disease and learn the lessons learned in the Midwest before any outbreaks happen in their area. No strains of bird flu have been found along the East Coast so far, but the anticipated wild bird migration along the Eastern Flyway could lead to similar conditions seen during the Mississippi Flyway outbreak that has killed more than 48 million birds. USDA officials estimate that recovering from the most recent outbreaks could cost the federal government as much as $700 million. And that's a look at today's
Todd Gleason services
news
are made available.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Check now the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here. He is with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt, thanks for being with us this afternoon. As usual, I'd like an update on the farm there outside of Windsor and how conditions appear today.
You know, we had a welcome surprise there last night. We had a chance for some rain, and we ended up getting anywhere from 1.5 to 2 inches plus of rain. So, I don't know, we're pretty much thrilled. It's you know, going to finish off our early beans and really help our corn keep from losing any of the yield that felt like we've been maybe losing here lately. So things are looking pretty good, relatively speaking.
And how wide an area do you suppose farmers are feeling good where you are? Because I'm thinking to the south of you, Effingham maybe had a little bit more rain and they were worried.
Yeah, they had pretty good rain totals. You know, that system wasn't expected to generate a whole lot of rain, but, you know, it ended up pretty fairly widespread from me south. I had to drive up to Decatur this morning and they didn't get a whole lot of rain up there. Bottom line is, you know, for me south, a lot of guys got a welcome rainfall, but, you know, the timing couldn't have been better.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about earlier in the season, and I'm not quite certain, isn't there? There's an area in southern Illinois that had pretty rough weather.
Yeah, you don't have to go very far south of me. Actually, you start getting south of Route 16, and you get into some areas that had way excessive rainfall all the way down to probably Mount Vernon a little bit farther south. There's a lot of really struggling crops just simply because, you know, some of those guys didn't even get nitrogen on. So, you know, there's a pretty big span there of stuff that doesn't really look the greatest.
And how did the trip from your area, which is near Mattoon, for those who are following Route 57, up on 121 into Decatur look? I would think that did. That probably looked pretty good.
I think it looks pretty good. There's definitely holes, you know, just like with anywhere else. But I think where the corn's good, it's good. You know, a lot of this corn here recently, with some of the dryness and a little bit of heat, we've seen some firing going on and obvious nitrogen deficiencies. And that's something I've been talking about for quite a while now. It's really hard to tell just how much nitrogen you lose. But whenever the state averages, you know, 20 inches plus in the month of June, you know you're going to lose a significant amount of nitrogen. So, you know, it looks good. It looks really good for this year. And I think that, you know, if someone was going to tell me, like one of the estimates of 180, that we're 10% off in the state of Illinois, though, I'd say that that's not what my opinion is anyway.
What is your opinion for the state of Illinois estimate?
My thought process is in the low 160s. I think that we're probably looking at maybe a 162, 161, 162, somewhere in there. But it's pretty tough to tell. You know, it's pretty tough to refine it all the way down because there's guys that have excellent crops. But you won't talk to a whole lot of guys in the state that feel like their yield is within 10% of last year.
Yeah,
so it's pretty tough for me. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you if you'd put together a national yield as well.
Yeah, nationally, you know, for next week, my official number was 162.5 for next week, but I feel like that's going to come down. Now, I'm probably on the low side, but I definitely don't think that we're going to be in the mid-160s like some think. I could be dead wrong, though.
How about for soybeans? What are you seeing there?
Well, soybeans are a wild card. As you know, they're an August crop. And obviously, anybody who was able to get a good rain here is feeling really good about their beans rebounding. But I think as far as the late season weather forecast, looks like it's a little warmer and drier for most everyone. So, you know, I'm not so sure that my bean yield's growing any. I'm probably looking right around 44 or 44.5 currently, and a lot of that's going to depend upon late season weather.
Thank you.
Support comes from AgriGold. Celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Waffle Day. It's also National Mustard Day. At first, mustard was considered a medicinal plant. In ancient times, the Greeks used mustard as a remedy for scorpion stings. Prepared mustard for culinary purposes may date back to the early Romans who ground mustard seeds and mixed them with wine into a paste. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, William Dimes was born. An English meteorologist, he was the first to invent an instrument to measure both the velocity and direction of wind. In 1909, the first corporation tax was passed by the U.S. Congress. In 1914, the first electric traffic lights were installed in Cleveland, Ohio, at Euclid Avenue and East 105th Street. And in 1962, Marilyn Monroe died, an American actress. In 1947, she won a curious contest. She was crowned the first artichoke queen of Castroville, California. The little-known Hollywood starlet, born Norma Jean Baker, had just begun using Marilyn Monroe as her name, although she did not legally change her name until 1956, just 6 years before she died. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line is Mike Tenori. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Mike, thanks for being with us today. What's the weather forecast look like for the Midwest this week and next week?
Well, the forecast does get a little bit trickier as we move forward in time. Over the next 3 to 4 days, we'll see a couple of waves of energy move across the Corn Belt. This will lead to a few thunderstorms here and there, but we're not looking for widespread coverage of organized rainfall, similar to what we saw earlier in June and July. That said, we still will see a few areas of rain, and as surprisingly as this might sound, you could argue that a few areas do need some rain. Now, if you look at coverage of dryness over the last 2 weeks, around 40% of U.S. corn and soybean production were drier than normal over that period. But if you expand out and look at the last 30 days, it only includes around 20%. And what that tells us is that there was heavy rain around 2 to 4 weeks ago, and we already know that. The real question, though, becomes what happens as we move further into the future. We do know that by the time we get into Monday, we will see a notably drier pattern begin. The reason for that is simply because a strong cool front sweeps on through the Corn Belt around Monday and Tuesday, and that sweeps all of the muggy air that's been lingering in the region away from us. And because of that, it will be difficult to produce much in the way of rainfall, say over Monday through Thursday of next week. Now, once we get to Thursday, you ask, well, what happens then? At that point, temperatures will begin to warm up in response to a large upper-level high to the west. That will block energy from moving on to the east, and we do need energy to produce rain. So between the cool front sweeping through and this upper-level high developing to the west, you can make the argument that there's very little rain on the horizon for around 1 week, starting Monday and Tuesday. Maybe not the best scenario for some locations, but keep in mind, there will be a few thunderstorms here and there until we get to that point, with the best chances generally to the north of Interstate 80. As we move on to the south, all the rain that we had overnight in southern Illinois through southern Ohio, that is exiting the region, and we don't look for the best of rain chances over the next 7 to 10 days there.
Please check in on other growing regions for me. I'd like to hear about France, China, and maybe we could start in the Delta.
Well, in the Delta, it's been a pretty warm summer. There's been a very sharp demarcation line between a hot summer and a seasonable summer, and the Delta's been on the hot side, with most corn and soybeans to the north on the seasonable side. So that's probably part of the reason that you're seeing an early harvest beyond just getting planted early. We do look for that heat to generally continue there. Again, it will turn much cooler there next week as well. France has been hit by pretty severe heat at times over the last 2 months. Even right now, temperatures are in the 90s, or at least they were earlier today across much of France. That will be a lingering issue. We've seen some reports out of Europe that their corn yields are much lower than normal, and we're not too surprised by that. It's been pretty hot and it's been pretty dry, and we all know that that's the formula for a subpar corn crop. In China, dryness has been a real issue lately in the northern regions where they don't have a lot of irrigation. This may come into play at some point. It's hard to say with a couple of typhoons approaching that region that'll bring some rain this week. But in general, France has been a little bit dry. China's been a little bit dry. And again, even the Delta a bit hot. So none of those areas are looking ideal.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, and joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Find us online at willag.org. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.